John Bunyan was a Puritan preacher who lived in the middle of the 17th century. And he was a man who was very familiar with heartache and trial and suffering. When he was a teenager, his mother passed away. And then a month after his mother passed away, his sister died. His father remarried and he struggled with that. And then as a young man, he was drafted into the army in one of the many wars that was taking place in England during that time. Saw all kinds of hardship and atrocities as he was serving as a soldier. One instance that really touched his life, he was given a mission. He was assigned a particular task, but before he left to do it, they picked someone else and gave it to another man, and that man went to carry out that task, and he was killed in doing what John was supposed to go and do. After his time of service, he married, and he and his wife, looking forward to the birth of their first child. You know how that is. Those of us that have children, you're super excited about the birth of any of your children, but that first one, there's just something about going through that first time, and that child was born blind. They had three other children and were married for 9 years, and then she passed away and left him a widower raising three children, one of them with special needs. He remarried, and in his life, all of these things came together with the calling of the Holy Spirit to bring him out to be one of the greatest Puritan preachers. But he also left behind something for us that is a treasure to many people today, a book called The Pilgrim's Progress. And in that book, he writes about the journey of a man named Christian and all the trials and troubles that he goes through in life, in leaving behind the hardship of being a sinner and traveling through this world, all the external influences that hit him, and as he's making his way to what he writes about in the book as the celestial city. It's an allegory, it's a story about the journey that we go on, the pilgrim journey that we take in this lifetime and all the way leading to eternity. And throughout there are poems that he put in, different poems that he put in different places, and there's one of them that he puts in and talking about the trials and tribulations that we face journeying through this life. And that poem says, "What danger is the pilgrim in? How many are his foes? How many ways there are to sin no living mortal knows. Some of the ditch shy are, yet can lie tumbling in the mire. Some, though they shun the frying pan, do leap into the fire." A personal act of moving from one bad decision or one tough situation into a more difficult situation, from the frying pan into the fire. The road, the path that we travel with ditches on each side, if you keep it between the ditches, you stay where you're supposed to go, you make the journey on the path that's put before you, but sometimes things happen and you run yourself off into the ditch and you're stuck in the mire on the side of the road. See, John understood there are all these external trials, these things that come your way in life, but he understood something that we need to understand today. The greatest obstacle, because the whole pilgrim journey is about perseverance. It's about persevering to the end. The whole thing, and where we face these obstacles, when we look at all these trials, all of the obstacles that come in that could cause problems in our perseverance, it does not come from the trial itself. The greatest obstacle to your perseverance in the faith is your own deceptive heart. It's you. Look with me in James, in his letter this morning. We're going to be in verse 13 through 18. You, your deceptive heart is your own greatest obstacle to perseverance. Follow along as I read aloud. "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good thing given And every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. John begins by saying to us, you cannot say when you're in the middle of trials, let's understand the context. We've been going through chapter 1, and what we've seen so far is John is talking to us about trials that come into our life, these things that are put there that God even allows to come into our life that test our faith, that grow our faith. And so it's within that context that we look at these verses. And so when you're in the middle of that trial, when the weight of that trial and the struggle of life is coming down on you, and you begin to feel this temptation to give in to sin because it's easier to sin than it is to just stick it out in that trial with what God's do, with what God is trying to work out in your life. When the weight of that sin comes and you feel that temptation to sin, you cannot say, God is the one that's tempting me. He says you cannot say that. And the reason that you cannot say that is because of the character and the nature of God. God is a righteous being. He is perfect. And so as this perfect being, God is only going to do what's right and what's perfect. God is not interested in entertaining or tolerating or promoting evil of any kind. As a matter of fact, his nature demands that evil be destroyed, and that those that participate in evil face the judgment for that evil. That is God's nature. That is part of who he is as a being. And James wants us to understand a couple of things about the character of God in this passage. The first thing that he tells us in verse 13 is this. When you are in the midst of those trials, you can't say God is tempted. And why? For God cannot be tempted by evil. God cannot be tempted by evil. No external force like evil can put pressure on God to change, because God is unchangeable. He is perfect in his righteousness. And in that righteousness, he will not change. He will always do what is right. And he will never give in to evil and wrong. So God is not one who can be tempted by evil. And not only that, there's something else about his character, is that he himself does not tempt anyone. So in his perfection, he can't be tempted, but at the same time, he's not going to tempt anyone else. You know why God isn't going to tempt anyone else, other than it's not in his nature to do so? It's because of his nature. It really is who he is, because God is a life giver. God is a sustainer and upholder. God wants life to flourish. God wants to give life to you and to me. And temptation leads us into sin, which brings about what? Death. God, in his very character and in his very nature, he cannot tempt you. He will not tempt you, because to tempt you is to open the door for death. And that is not God's desire for any of us. God does not want that in any way, shape, form, or fashion in your life or mine. So God cannot be tempted. God does not tempt. It's in his nature to be righteous and perfect and to lead us to life. Now, in the middle of a trial, a struggle, facing temptation, why does the character of God matter? If he can't be tempted, if he cannot tempt, what does that mean for me? Why is that such a big deal? Why would James include that here? Why do we need to focus in on that character of God this morning and thinking through what that means for us in temptation? Here's why. When you are going through trials and struggles in life and you are faced with temptation, isn't it great to know that there is someone with you who cannot be defeated and overcome by the evil and the temptation that you face in your life? Isn't it great to know that this God who is with you is a warrior God? We think of God all the time as a loving God, but what you see in Scripture is also the reality that this is a warrior God. Yahweh is a fighting God, fighting for you. Because he passionately despises evil and he doesn't want it to destroy anything that he has given life to. And so this warrior God is passionately fighting for you, passionately making a way for you in the middle of that trial to overcome that temptation, to endure and to persevere through that trial. Do you realize that this God who fights for you, labors for your success. Don't miss that. God labors for your success in the middle of that trial. He wants you to succeed. He wants you to have life, to have that abundant life. And God's going to open up all of heaven and give you all the resources that are at His disposal to endure that trial, to make it through. He is equipping you for that trial. You know, James has said that to us in verse 5, that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. God wants you to have His wisdom. He's ready to give it to you if you will ask Him in faith in the middle of that struggle. He will show you how to endure, show you how to get through that, show you how to overcome that temptation, equipping you to endure. You know, Paul wrote about this in 1 Corinthians as well. He writes to the church in Corinth in chapter 10 in verse 13, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you will be able to endure it." That idea of providing you an escape is the way of him saying he's not going to let you get caught in a trap from which you cannot get out of. And God is equipping you for endurance. The whole point that Paul has there is to endure in that verse. To endure and to make it through. And God has provided multiple things for us to use, to put in place in our life, to endure trials and to overcome temptation when we face it. I want you to consider this morning the things that God has done to equip you for success. The first thing is your salvation itself. He's brought you out of this life where you once were controlled by sin and has given you through the power of His Holy Spirit. There's another gift that He has given. His Holy Spirit, His presence with you to empower you to overcome all those things that are trying to pull you away from God. God has given us His perfect word, this word that we are studying and hearing proclaimed this morning, that at your disposal is the wisdom of God if you will only open it and read it and study it. That everything that you need to endure that trial, to withstand that temptation, is right here. Do you know that Jesus Christ used Scripture to fight off temptation? After He was baptized, He spent 40 days in the wilderness. He fasted and He prayed. And at near the end of those 40 days, Satan came to tempt Jesus. And three times that we are told in Matthew, three different occasions, it may have been more than that, but there are three specific occasions where Jesus was tempted. And in those temptations, He quoted Scripture back to Satan to fight off the temptation. He turned to the Word of God. And so God has given us His Spirit. God has given us His Word. God has given us prayer as a tool to fight against temptation. Jesus, on the night that He was arrested to go to be crucified, what did He do? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked His disciples to stay and to pray. He went away from them and He sat by Himself and He pleaded with God the Father through prayer. Pleaded with God, "Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. If there's any other way to do this, then let it happen another way. But Father, if not, your will be done. Not my way, but your way." Pleading with the Father through prayer. God has equipped and given us everything that we need to endure temptation and struggles and trials in this life. He has provided all that we need. He has opened up the resources of heaven to you and to me. And so, if you find yourself in the middle of that trial, those external forces that weigh in on your life, just circumstances of life, struggles and strife in this lifetime, if you find yourself walking through those times and you begin to feel tempted and the sin begins to call to you, if you fail in the midst of that trial and you give yourself over to that sin, you cannot blame God. Stop blaming God. He has given you everything that you need to endure that trial. He has provided all that you need to overcome that temptation. You need to remember, your deceptive heart is the greatest obstacle to your perseverance in the faith. This is going to hurt. This is going to sting, but I want you to look at verses 14, 15, and 16 with me. Look at what James says. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Look at verse 14 carefully. Where is the source of your temptation? You are carried away when you are enticed by what? Your own lust. It's in here. That greatest obstacle to persevering in the faith is right here. It's in your heart. Now, I want you to understand what James is doing, the picture that he is painting here for us. Since we have children that are sitting in here with us this morning, let me just put it to you this way. He's painting a very intimate picture of your relationship with lust in these circumstances. A very intimate picture. And so in those trials and struggles of life, when pressure begins to press down on you from all these external forces, when you are being squeezed by the world, when you're being squeezed by the trials that come into your life. Now, let's remember, those trials by themselves are not a bad thing. James has already told us in the beginning of this chapter that those trials come into our life as opportunities for us to have our faith tested, to learn that we really do trust God, or to see where maybe we aren't trusting God. And those trials that come into our life are good things, because when we pass through those trials, we pass that test. On the other side, we have endured and we are stronger than we were before we went through it. But in the middle of that trial, some of them just get so crushing on us. It squeezes us to the point where what's really deep inside, what's hiding in those dark recesses of our heart, what's been left behind from what we were before we knew Christ, we get squeezed and that begins to ooze out into our life, and that lust comes up out of hiding. What you're having there, the lust, these ideas that James is communicating to us, is these deep, unnatural passions, these forbidden things, things we should not give into or participate in because they go against the very nature and the very will of God. And that's the things that are left from that residue of who you were before you became a new creation in Christ. Before you, believer, placed your faith in Jesus Christ and He gave you the forgiveness of your sins and set you up to begin to walk on this path of faith and grow in that path of faith and understanding of His teachings, and to be molded and shaped throughout this lifetime through a process of sanctification, being made in His image. Before that, this old creature that you were was bound by sin, bound in chains by these lusts and these passions that held you captive. Sin was your taskmaster. Sin and death owned you. Lust drove every decision that you made. And since you were owned by sin and lust and they were your masters, you had no choice in that life before you knew Christ but to obey what they say, to give yourself over to those passions. You had nothing available to you to fight, to break those chains, to withstand them, to say to them, I am not going to give myself over to you. You had nothing available to you to help you do that in that old, as that old creature. But when the salvation that comes by grace through faith in Christ alone was imparted into your life, believer, and you trusted Christ, He made you a new creature, and in making you a new creature, gave you His Spirit, and in giving you His Spirit, empowered you and placed you in a position where you no longer had to obey those lusts. You no longer have to obey that sin. You no longer have to give yourself over to those taskmasters. You do not serve them anymore. You've been set free. And you've been given all the gifts of heaven to fight off and to withstand your former master. Empowered by God for all good things that he has sent down from above to overcome that lust. And so when it wells up inside of you because of that pressure that's weighing down on you, James says, when it comes up in your life and you fail to put into place and to use the heavenly gifts that God has given you to fight that temptation off, and you basically, what he words it here is, you lay with that lust. You give yourself over, because the way he describes it here, it wells up inside of us, and this is something that is enticing. It's alluring. It's attractive. It looks good in that moment. It looks like a comforter. It looks like someone that's understands. It's familiar. And it's what we want to go back to. And the picture that he's painting here is of something that is just overwhelming sometimes in our lives. This idea of lust being alluring and attractive. Now, I want you to understand this morning. Man, listen to me. You should entice your wife. Amen? I heard more women saying amen than I heard men. You should entice your wife. Wives, you should be very alluring towards your husband, shouldn't you? Men, you want to say amen to that? No, everybody wants to go home and have a good evening, right? In its proper context, those things are great and they're beautiful. And in that context, but where it's permissible in the will of God, those types of lust and that type of allurement and that type of attraction is good. It's a good thing. But what James is saying here is that when you look at that lust in your life and it becomes alluring and it becomes attractive and you go to give yourself over to it, you are putting yourself in a very bad, difficult situation. That lust that is enticing, that calls, that's attractive, that lures us in, the way that he gives us this understanding of it here is when you lay with that lust, it's inevitable. When you begin to flirt with it, when you begin to even think about that lust and that temptation, when it wells up inside of you and you give yourself over to it, it's going to conceive sin. It's going to conceive that child called sin. And now you and lust are locked in a relationship, and you own that child. It's yours. And at some point in your life, that sin is going to mature. It's going to come of age. When it's accomplished, it's the way that James talks about it, but he's talking about that sin growing to maturity. And when it reaches its full maturation in your life, when it's come to the fullness of time in your life, that sin grows, then it turns on you and brings great devastation in your life. How many of you have seen the movie Finding Nemo? Every kid said, whew. Yeah, it's a great movie, isn't it? You remember Bruce? Hello, I'm Bruce. Do you like that? Was that pretty good? I might have a side job then. So Bruce is the big great white shark that is part of this support group of these sharks who no longer want to eat fish, right? Because fish are friends, not, yeah, you watch too much TV. So fish are friends, not food. That's right. And they gather together to encourage one another, to stay the course, to stay on that path. And so he finds Dory and he finds the clownfish, and they go to the meeting with him, and he takes them to this really dark place, doesn't he? The submarine that's surrounded by all of these underwater mines that were there to catch submarines. And so they go in and they have their meeting in the submarine, and at one point in there, Dory gets popped on the nose, right? And the blood comes out of her nose and goes drifting up right up underneath Bruce's nose. And Bruce, when he senses that blood, goes, ooh, that's good. And then from that point on, he's carried away. The word that James uses here, carried away, taken off that path. That lust draws him off of that right path that he was on. And he chases them all over that submarine. And before it's over, every mine in that field explodes and this chaos and destruction is left in the wake of him giving himself over to that lust. Man, what a picture. When you give yourself over to those lusts that well up inside of you, that's exactly what's happening here. You conceive that child of sin in your life with lust, and then some point in your life that sin turns on you and begins to destroy you and rip your life apart. James says in verse 16, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Listen, he's encouraging you as a believer. But he's saying to you this morning, don't be deceived. Stop blaming God and stop deceiving yourself. Understand that that greatest obstacle comes from inside of you. And when it wells up inside of you, the temptation is to think, you know, this is comforting. I can go to this, and to think that you can control it. I want to tell you this morning, you can't control the sin that's in your life. It will devour you. It will explode. It will destroy your life. It could potentially destroy your family and all the credibility in every area of your life and all the relationships that you have. It is that destructive. It is not something that you can handle, that you can deal with on your own. I would even take a step back and say to you this morning, before it even conceives into sin, that when that lust wells up inside of you and you're facing that temptation to lay with that lust, I would even say to you that that temptation is not something that you can deal with on your own. You can't overcome that on your own. This is one of the reasons that God has placed all of His resources from heaven right before you, so that you can overcome those through His power and through His way and not your own power and your own way. Stop deceiving yourself. And you know what I'm talking about this morning. There's no need for me to list the sins to try to call you out, because you know the sin that you have in your life that you think you keep hidden, that you think you can control. You know and understand the temptation that you're facing in your life right now, that you're struggling with. But I want you to hear me this morning. Stop deceiving yourself and understand something more about the character of your God. Every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. All of these perfect gifts that we have, that we've talked about, God's word, prayer, all of those things have come down from God above, whom James right here calls the Father of lights. There's more about our character, the character of our God right here. The Father of lights, James is referencing him as the Creator God, the God who created the sun, the moon, and the stars and the planets and put them in the heavens. I mean, when you consider all that is in our universe, every week, if you pay attention to NASA and you just look at their Twitter feed or you look on their website, what you will see every week is they're making new discoveries. They found a new star. They found a new planet. And all of these things that are out there, these billions of stars and planets that are in all these different galaxies that are swirling around all throughout the universe, that are just incredible and amazing to look at. God made all of them. The Father of lights crafted all of them by the word of His mouth and put them in the heavens, and He places them there and He holds them there now. He sustains them and He keeps them in orbit. This is the God who is concerned with the trial of your life and the temptation that you face in the middle of that trial. This is the God who is with you. And man, if he can do a task like holding the planets and the stars in place and keeping them burning, billions of them, if He can deal with that, don't you think, believer, that He can deal with the temptation, the lust that's welling up inside of your heart? Don't you believe that He's a warrior God who will fight for you, who is equipping you to endure what you're facing? Man, if He can do that, He can do this. He can take care of what's going on in my life. This is the God who we serve. But guess what? It's not just that He has given all of these equipment and these tools, if you want to call them that, for you to use to endure. He's done even greater than that. Look at this. This Father of lights who is no variation, no shifting of shadows. He's unchangeable. This is the God who is fighting for you. And so when he faces you, your greatest enemy, which is your own lust, your own temptation, your deceptive heart, no evil can overtake him. No evil can overcome him. Your deceptive heart isn't going to beat God. And in verse 18, the greatest gift that he has ever given to you and to me to overcome that temptation, he did it in verse 18. In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. In his will. James has brought in creation by calling him the Father of lights. And he says that in his will, God brings us forth by the word of truth. The image there is similar to what he's talking about in sin and sin being birthed into your life. That God births us by the word of truth. The new birth. God brings us out of something and brings us into something better. He pulled you out of that sin, that death that had you captive, and made you his own child and set you up for success. He's the one that brought you out and set you on this pilgrim journey. He's the one that brought you out and put you on this path of faith. He's the one that wants you to make that journey through this lifetime to inherit that eternal life, to persevere through all of it. And if he's the one that called you out, if he's the one that done it, because you can't save yourself. And God pulls you out of that and gives you this new life and all that you need to persevere and endure. And why does God do that? Well, before we answer the why, understand that he did this before you were ever brought into this world. Before this world was ever created, God puts in place this perfect plan for your success in trials and tribulation. And what is that plan? The word of truth, the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that knowing you were going to be trapped in that sin, God in his infinite wisdom, in his divine and perfect will, put in place a plan where he himself and the person of Jesus Christ would come to this earth and pay the penalty that you owe for sin. Dying on a cross, shedding his blood, being buried, and then 3 days later showing his authority over death, over sin, and rising from the grave that you might have eternal life if you believe and confess that Christ is Lord. The greatest gift that he has given us. God does this all on his own, brings us forth by the word of truth. Why? So that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. You know, the first fruits are set apart just for God. No one else can have them. Evil cannot have the first fruits of God. And so when you are called out of that life, when you have become that first fruit, you are what is most precious to God. And what is most precious to God, he will always set up for success. Always. Always. And he will protect and fight for it. And give you everything that you need to endure. So go after those good gifts of God. Go after him with all that you have. In the middle of that trial, facing that temptation and that lust, run to the word of God. Run to prayer. Run to Jesus Christ himself. Stop blaming God. Stop deceiving yourself and go after what God has put in place for you to endure. See, every one of us, every believer that's in this room this morning is on that pilgrim journey, that path of faith, walking that path through this lifetime. And so if you brought into this new life by Christ to set on that path, begin this journey. And I want you to understand something. Hear me out. If you have never confessed Christ as Lord the way that those that were baptized did this morning, you're still stuck right here in death and sin, shackled to your lust, your ungodly passions, trapped with no hope and no help, no way to free yourself, no tools to fight, no weapons to fight against that temptation. Nothing. It's going to eat you and consume you. When you look to the cross and what Christ has done, in paying the penalty that you and I owe for sin and dying on that cross. When you believe that that death on that cross, his burial and his resurrection are true and real, and you confess that he is Lord, that you're ready to leave all that behind and to give yourself over to Christ, to surrender to his good and perfect will, and you're ready to do that, Christ takes you out of that and sets you on this path. But if you've never had that encounter with Jesus Christ, you are not on this path. So understand that this morning. To get to this path, to even begin to walk this pilgrim journey, you have to come through Jesus Christ. But those of us that have, when we are set on that path, we began this faith journey, this pilgrimage through this life. And as James has already shown us in this first chapter, over and over again, trials are going to come in. They're going to hit us along this path, on this journey. And you're going to be tested, and that testing in those trials strengthens us and builds our faith. We learn to trust God more and to trust his perfect gifts. And on the other side of those trials, we find ourselves stronger than we were before. And we continue down this path, journeying to this eternity that God has waiting for us. And along that path between, after, it's not one or two trials. It's going to be trial after trial after trial in this lifetime. And there's going to come a day, believe me, look at me, every one of you, understand this. There's going to come a day where a trial is going to hit your life so hard that it squeezes you to the point like you've never been tested and squeezed before. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And in the middle of that, you are going to be tempted by lusts that have been hiding so deep within your heart. And you're going to want to give in to that. But listen to me. When you find yourself in that moment facing that lust, you are at a crossroads. You are at a crossroads where you get to make a decision between one of two things. It's either intimacy with God and his perfect gifts that he sent from heaven, or it's intimacy with that lust, which breeds sin in our life, conceives and gives birth to that sin, which will bring great devastation into your life. And if you follow that path, that's all that's left for you is devastation. You have no more reliance in those moments, on those gifts of God. You've turned to your own understanding, is the way the Bible says it. But I want you to know this morning, if that's you, if you've laid with lust and have conceived sin in your life, believer, God has not left you without an escape. Two of his greatest gifts that he has sent from heaven to you are forgiveness and restoration. And to have those forgiveness and restoration, all you have to do is turn back to Christ and to repent, to turn away from that and to cry out to him, God, I know I can't control this. I can't overcome this. I need you to set my feet back on that path. You turn from that intimacy with that sin and turn back to intimacy with God. And the forgiveness and the restoration are there waiting for you if you will only do that. In that path of intimacy, that the Father of lights sustains all of creation and sustains you as well through all of these hard times. Intimacy with his word, reading it, studying it, praying, drawing closer to Jesus Christ through all of that. There's one purpose for calling you out of this, setting you on that path and molding and shaping you all along the way. There's one goal. Look at verse 12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's the end goal. That's where this path, this pilgrim journey leads. Oh, pilgrim, don't get distracted by all the many foes that are out there. Don't let your own sinful lust and desires, your deceptive heart, carry you away from that path. Stay intimate with God. Stop blaming him when you fail. Stop deceiving yourself. Go after the perfect gifts that God has placed in your life and your path to help you along the way. This morning, I think God is dealing with one of three people here today. Those that are still here in this mire, in this muck, the sin, and they're captive. And God's saying to you through His word this morning, He's calling you out of that into this new life that you can only have through Jesus Christ. Oh, would you listen to His Holy Spirit and let Him break the chains of that bondage of sin? Because to remain in it, all that is there is sorrow and guilt, pain and hurt and devastation. You can leave it behind this morning if you trust Christ today. The believer, if you're on that path, walking that pilgrim journey of faith, let me encourage you today, if you're not feeling the weight and the strain of trials and struggles, to know it's coming. Go after those perfect gifts that God has given. Be intimate with Him in all ways so that you are prepared when that time comes to withstand that lust. For the believer who has failed this morning, would you take advantage of that forgiveness and the repentance, the restoration that is available to you? As Brian and our worship team come this morning, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And at the end of that prayer, I'm going to give you the opportunity to respond to what God is saying. God's word demands a response from us, and we're going to have a song. And during that song time, I want to encourage you, take advantage of the tools that God has given you. Fall on your knees in prayer before the Lord if you need to this morning. If you're trapped in sin and you want out of that, you want to accept Christ, would you come this morning and let me talk with you this morning about His good and perfect will for you? If He's calling you, please let me speak with you this morning. Believer, trapped in sin, trust God's plan of repentance. Trust Him this morning. Let's pray.